chapter 18, verses 21 and 22. That's in the New Testament, first book of the New Testament. Matthew chapter 18, verse 21. We'll read these two verses, then we'll pray and get started. Then Peter came to him and said, "Lord, how many times could my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as seven times?" "I tell you, not as many as seven," Jesus said to him, "but 70 times seven." Let's pray. Father God, we come to you today and I pray that your Holy Spirit would be here with us today to open our ears and to open our eyes, dear Lord, that we would see your word, that we would hear from you. I pray, God, that you would free us of all the distractions and the worry and maybe the hatred and the anger and the bitterness that is within us, dear Lord. Sometimes those things kind of rage within us, dear Lord. But God, I pray that maybe through these words that we read today that you would help us to see the beautiful joy that is forgiveness, dear Lord, and that we can receive it through you today and that we can give it to others today. So I pray, God, that your Holy Spirit would guide me in every word that is said. Dear Lord, there is no good word I can say if it does not come from you. So I pray that you take away any pride or any fear that I have today of speaking. And I pray, God, that you would do the work, that we would see you and you'd receive the glory. So help us not to worry about the things of the world this morning, but in these few minutes, that we would be completely and totally devoted to you. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
In the verses before this, Jesus had told his disciples about dealing with someone who had sinned against them. And Jesus gave some good instruction on the proper way to deal with a brother who has sinned against you. You go to him, and if you still can't work it out, you take somebody else with you. And if you still can't work it out, and they're still living in sin and committing that sin, then you take it before the church. And Jesus says, and treat them like an unbeliever and a tax collector. And he gives some pretty strict instruction there on how to deal with a brother or sister in Christ, I suppose, who has sinned against you. And with this in mind, what had just been said, Peter asked a question. He says, it says, Peter came to him and he said, "Lord, how many times could my brother sin against me and I forgive him?" Okay, so if we're supposed to forgive people, if we're supposed to, people come against us and they do evil things, how many times can we forgive them? How many times are we going to get burned? And Peter says, is it seven times? Should I do it seven times and then am I off the hook? And maybe we ask a similar question. Maybe we've got people in our life that sinned against us in some great way. And we're kind of getting burned out. We kind of get tired of them. It just hurts. We don't want to go through it anymore. And we say, how many times? I've done enough. And so maybe Peter was to that point. Okay, well, how many times? How much is enough? How many times can someone sin against me? Seven times? That seems like a pretty reasonable amount. But Jesus says to Peter, no, 70 times seven. Now, I don't think we should take Jesus too literally here. I don't think Jesus is saying, all right, keep a count and forgive somebody 490 times and then you'll have forgiven them enough. That 491st time, you can tell them, that's it, you're done. I don't think that's what Jesus is saying. Jesus is using this language here to say, don't put a limit. Don't limit people. People may sin against you a bunch, but don't give up on them. Now, when Jesus said in the verses before to treat somebody like an unbeliever, what do for unbelievers? You continue to pray for them. When you have somebody in your life, as probably some of you do, you pray for them that they would not be an unbeliever, but that they would be a believer and that they would repent of their sins and that they would forgive you if you sinned against them and that you could forgive them if they've sinned against you. And so Jesus gives this instruction about how to deal with people. And Peter says, okay, what's the limit on how to deal with these kind of people? And Jesus, I believe, says here, there is no limit. And Jesus puts it into perspective as really only Jesus can. And we see so often he gives a parable to understand the significance of our own sin and the importance of forgiving the sins of others. And so Jesus tells a story in the verses that follow. He says there was a king And the king had slaves, and there came a time that there was a king who was going to settle a debt with one of his slaves. And it says that that slave owed 10,000 talents to the king. Now, that doesn't really mean much to us in our day and time. So if you do a little research on the internet, you're going to find some different ideas as to what that converts to in U.S. dollars. But at the very least, it would convert to several billions of dollars worth of debt. Some have suggested as much as $13 billion that this slave would have owed to this king. And so the slave sees this debt and obviously is unable to repay this debt. And the king says, okay, then this slave, his family need to be sold. All of their items need to be sold to recoup whatever of this debt can be recouped. And the slave falls down and he begs the king and he says, King, would you please have mercy on me? I will repay this debt. I'll repay it. Now, it would have taken a lifetime for this slave to even chip away at this debt in the least. It was impossible for the slave to repay the debt to the king. And so the king does something that's quite phenomenal. The king forgives the debt. He says, I'm wiping it away. It's done. Now, you can imagine the joy that this slave must have felt to know that all of his debt had been cleared, a debt that would have been impossible for him to pay, and 200 lifetimes he couldn't have repaid that. And here the king, being a merciful king, because the slave asked, said, King, would you have this mercy on me? Because he asked, the king forgave his debt. Now, you would think that this would be a life-changing event for this slave. You would think that this slave would say, holy smokes, this is the greatest gift that I have ever been given. I have never received such compassion. And you would think that it would have shaped his life and changed his life in such a way that he would have been the most compassionate man that you have ever seen. That all those who have wronged him and come before him and don't do him right, that he would be so full of compassion that he would say, look, I was once like you and I received great mercy and compassion from the king, and therefore I will give it to others. Would you believe that that's not what that slave did? Here was a slave that had been forgiven what we would call billions of dollars in debt. And the scripture says that this slave goes to another slave who owed him 100 denarii. Now, a denarii is one day's wages back in those days. That was about a day's wage for a common folk. Now, that would be equivalent to about $6 in our day and age. So this other slave owed this man who had been forgiven all of this billions of dollars in debt, this other slave owed him, which would equate to about $600. $600. And he goes to this man, and the scripture says that he begins to choke him, and he begins to tell him, I want every penny that's coming to me. I want you to pay it all back. Now, wait a minute. This is the man who just had been forgiven way more than 100 denarii. He had been forgiven 60 million days' work. This man owed him 100 days' work, 100 days' wages. This first slave had been forgiven 60 million days' wages, or 200,000 years' worth of wages that had been forgiven. And yet the one who owed him, he went before him, and he said, I want every penny of what you owe me. Well, the rest of the slaves saw this, and they, of course, were alarmed at what had taken place. And they reported this word to the king. And when the king heard this, you can imagine the king was not too pleased. After all, the king had showed great compassion and great mercy to this slave, only to find out that he was being so hard on the one that owed him money. And so the king said, lock this one up. Lock this slave up until he can repay every penny that he owes me. Now, it was impossible for this slave to repay the debt that he owed, and the king knew that. And the king had offered compassion and mercy to this slave, and this slave had totally missed the compassion and mercy that he received. Certainly he was glad that his debt was forgiven, but he didn't make the connection there of the beauty of what compassion is and what mercy is and what forgiveness is. And what a beautiful story for us to consider today as we think about the words of Peter here. And we say, Lord, how many times should I forgive somebody? Well, if we want the answer to that, then we need to ask ourselves, how much have we been forgiven? What is our debt to God? Our debt to God that is brought forth because of our sin is something that we can never pay back. It is an impossible amount to pay. And that's the point of Jesus' story. There was one who owed a debt to the king that was impossible for him to pay unless the king himself was going to abolish the debt. And so it is for you and I today that we come in here as sinners. We come in here and we are so indebted to God. And all it takes is one sin. It doesn't matter if we have a million sins today or one sin. That one sin that we commit is enough that we are indebted to God, that there is no way that we can pay this back. But praise the Lord, the very King that we are indebted to, and Jesus Christ is the King who gave His life for us. And when we come to Jesus Christ and ask for forgiveness, our sins are forgiven. Our debt has been paid by Jesus Christ on the cross. Our sins have been cast as far as the east is to the west. And if we have come to Jesus Christ, if we claim to be a Christian, then we should recognize today the compassion of the King. That we should recognize today the mercy of the King. That we should know that we are so undeserving of the love of Jesus Christ, and yet He showed His love for us and that He gave His life on a cross so that we could be forgiven. And what a beautiful gift that is. That's something we could never earn. That's something that we cannot repay, but that's something that Jesus Christ has paid. He has paid in full with His death on the cross. And if we have received such compassion and mercy and grace and the forgiveness of our sins today that we have not deserved, then how can that not transform our life? That has to transform our life. If we've really experienced that to the fullest, then that has to transform our life. And how do we know? How can we tell? How can we be sure that our lives have been transformed by Jesus Christ? Well, perhaps one very easy way for us to measure is to see how willing we are to forgive others. If we have asked Jesus Christ to forgive us today, then praise God, He has forgiven us today. So who are we not to forgive those who sin against us? What has somebody done to us that is so much greater than anything we have done to Jesus Christ? It don't take long. You start listing out your sins. You won't have to think but 10 seconds, and you'll think of some of the worst, most horrible things you could ever imagine, and you've done those things. And you can think of five or six of them right now. And that's not to count all the other thousands and tens of thousands and millions of sins that you have committed in your life day after day, year after year, time after time. And God has been gracious to you and He has forgiven your sin. And how can we say if we are a child of God that we will not forgive one who has sinned against us? We want to be those who receive grace, praise the Lord. We want to be those whose sins are forgiven, praise the Lord. There is freedom in that. There is joy in that. Our burden is taken away in that. And yet somehow we may find ourselves in the same boat as this unforgiving slave. We'll praise God. We know the grace of God. We've experienced the grace of God. And then somebody sins against us in a far lesser way than we have ever sinned against God. And we say, nope, I will not forgive him. I will not forgive her. Well, we're on dangerous ground when our heart gets to that place. Because if we will not forgive the sins of those who sinned against us, then our Father in heaven will not forgive our sins. That's a hard thing for us as humans, and I suspect it was a hard thing for God, and It was a hard thing for Jesus Christ to suffer and bleed and die and be nailed to the cross. And yet, Jesus did it. Because there is beauty in forgiveness. There is love in forgiveness. There is peace in forgiveness. And maybe that's what some of you are looking for today. Maybe you're looking for some joy and some peace in your life. And maybe you come to church and maybe you're reading the scripture and maybe you know about God and you know about Jesus and maybe in a lot of ways you're trying to follow Him. But maybe there's one way in which you're not. Maybe there's one way in which you're not following Him and listening to Him, and that is when He calls you to forgive those who have sinned against you. And perhaps you are carrying around some burden today and you are not experiencing the joy you should, because that lack of forgiveness that you have for others is eating away at you because you dwell on it day and night. What He did to you, what she did to you, how she wronged you. Tell everybody else that'll listen how they wronged you. And it just eats at you and it eats at you and it eats at you. And the only way to overcome that is through forgiveness. That's the only way. And it is not always easy, and we may have to pray a lot for God to help us. God, this person has wronged me, and God, I struggle with this, and I know I should forgive them, and God, I want to forgive them, but my heart's still not right. God, would you help make my heart right? And you can be honest with God. You can tell Him your struggle. He knows your struggle. He knows that we are weak human beings, and we know that God's Word calls us to forgive, but it is not easy, and unless we have the help of God, and unless we recognize the compassion and the mercy and the grace we've received from God, it will be impossible for us to forgive others. But if we ever struggle with forgiving others, then the first place we might need to turn is to this passage, to be reminded of just how much we have been forgiven of in Jesus Christ. It says at the end of chapter 18 in verse 35, "So my heavenly Father will also do to each of you," "so my heavenly Father will also do to you if each of you does not forgive his brother from his heart." Now this slave that had not realized and appreciated the compassion he received to pass it on to others, was cast for all of his life into prison to be tormented. And so it shall be for you and I. If we are not those who experience the forgiveness of God through Jesus Christ, if we are not those who forgive others, then we will suffer the same consequence as this slave that we see in this story. But at the end of that verse, Jesus says, "This will happen to us if we do not forgive our brother from our heart." Forgiveness is not simply words you say. It's got to come from your heart. You know, your little kids, sometimes you fight and your parents say, "All right, make up to your brother and sister. Tell them you're sorry." You're like, "I'm sorry." And you really don't mean it. You just say it because your mama says you got to say it or you're going to get a whipping. And like sometimes we kind of do that. Even as adults, we kind of act like it's okay. We kind of act like we've forgiven people. And we do just enough to be able to speak to them in a crowd. But really in our heart, we haven't forgiven anybody. And forgiveness must come from our heart. And I think the only way we can truly forgive others is to be truly forgiven ourselves. And once we experience the forgiveness of God through Jesus Christ, if that does not transform our heart in a way that causes us to think twice, that causes us to have a little compassion to those who have sinned against us, then maybe our heart has not been changed by Jesus Christ. Perhaps today you are one who needs to be forgiven. You've never put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Perhaps you think today that your debt is too large. Perhaps today you've decided you're going to try to work it off. You're going to try to earn God's favor. If He would just give you another chance. Maybe you are like the slave we see at the beginning of the story that begs the king, "If you'd give me another chance, I'll repay it." But I'll tell you today, you cannot repay the debt of your sin. But if you'd go before the king and you would seek Him and you would ask for forgiveness, then your sin will be covered. Your sin will be cast away as far as the east is to the west. There's no limit to how many sins Jesus can forgive. He can forgive all of them. Everyone you've committed and I've committed and everybody in this room has committed. And in the whole world, Jesus Christ can forgive those sins if we would just seek Him. You'll find peace in that today. If you'd come before Jesus Christ and repent of your sins and seek Him and live for Him, there's peace in that and there's joy in that. Maybe for some of you today, maybe you have trusted Jesus Christ, maybe you've experienced that forgiveness, and maybe you've forgotten how great of a gift that is. That Jesus Christ died to forgive you and me. As rotten as we are, Jesus forgave us. How many times has the Lord given you second chances? You've had a million second chances. And if God is gracious to give us chance after chance, then how can we, as children of God, not give those around us one more chance? It's hard when people do us wrong, but I believe Jesus teaches us that there is no limit to forgiveness. There is no limit to the forgiveness that He gives to us, and therefore, if we are to follow Jesus, we are to forgive those who sin against us. Maybe today you are His, and maybe you're struggling with it, then keep seeking the Lord and ask Him to help you to deal with that person who has wronged you. Maybe today you just feel angry and you feel hatred and you just feel mad about what people have done to you. I pray that God would help you to overcome that. And maybe the solution to your problem and the restoration of your joy is going to come when you forgive those who have wronged you from your heart. So we have a decision to make today. Will we be like this slave who was forgiven and who took it for granted? Or will we do better than him? Will we receive the compassion and the mercy of the King and be compassionate and merciful to those who are around us? Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Let us be men and women today who are merciful to those who have wronged us, just as Jesus has been merciful to us. Let's pray. God, we come to you, we thank you for your good word today. And dear Lord, this is a tough passage that really calls us to reflect on our own life. Dear Lord, we may be tempted to think we are not as bad as we really are. But dear Lord, maybe if we are honest today, we are just as rotten as this unforgiving slave. That God, we have received your grace and we have seen it. And God, we are not at all willing to live in that grace and share it with others. So, dear Lord, I pray that if there are any here today that do not know Jesus Christ, that maybe they're struggling in the burden of sin, that today they would experience grace for the first time. To know that they don't have to live in sin and live for the world, but if they would just ask you to forgive them, their sins would be forgiven today, dear Lord. I pray that they would turn their life to Jesus, that they would repent of those sins, that they would experience your grace and mercy right now, dear Lord, that you'd bring about a joy in their life that they've never experienced before today. God, maybe there are some in this room today and they just struggle with the wrongs that have been committed against them, dear Lord. There are great wrongs that have been committed against us. But dear Lord, we have committed great wrongs against you, and yet you still find it in your heart, dear Lord, to forgive us. So God, I pray that we would do the same thing, that we would find it within our hearts, dear Lord, to have grace to other people, that you would be with us, dear Lord, that you would help us to have compassion like you do and mercy like you do. And I pray that we would seek you for strength to do that, because God, we cannot do that on our own. God, I pray that if there are any in this room today that have been holding grudges, that are reluctant to forgive, dear Lord, that they understand the severity of that, God. That we would recall your word, dear Lord, that we are not forgiven if we do not forgive others. So God, I pray that if we are struggling today, that we would not allow that lack of forgiveness on our part to just rattle us inside, dear Lord. But that we would forgive those who sinned against us. That we would experience joy today and peace today. God, we thank you for who Jesus is. We thank you that he loved us enough to die on the cross for us. As rotten as we are, dear Lord, we are just a room full of rotten sinners. But yet Jesus Christ died on the cross so that we could be forgiven. Dear Lord, that's a debt we could not repay. God, help us never to try to earn your favor by what we do, but to accept that Jesus Christ has paid the debt for us today. And so I pray, God, that if you've spoken to any today, that God, that you just work in them right now, that they would respond to you right now, dear Lord, that your Holy Spirit would work among us. God, help us to experience your forgiveness and to have a heart of forgiveness toward others. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.